You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
Imagine the cameras at the draft if you had like a CCM bucket on. They would literally just, every pick, they would just be focused on you with your XL7 bucket.
Let's go to Florida with the 17th pick. They just pan into Caver. Yeah,
Chicago's drafting. Let's pan in back to Helmet Head.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The O-Dog is off on World Junior duty.
Yes, he's on assignment.
He's a correspondent, yes, and he'll be on the panel, which begins in about a week and a half. But he's been globetrotting. He's been flying all over Europe, and he was in the States, and he's making sure that he's crossing all his T's and dotting all his I's.
Said he was in Switzerland and got called out by people because he said it was 4 o'clock in the morning there and it was 11.
Yeah.
So
I think we might have caught him in a lie. But that's all right.
A couple, when Ray asked him about Switzerland's coach, and he said it was the goalie.
I'm so happy that coach is coming back.
He's the best quote.
The greatest. Do we have that quote, actually, Mullen? Let's find that Switzerland coach from a year ago, because if you're a guy, if you're new to this team, yeah, like I would think there'd be some carryover from the Swiss team from a year ago that's back this year. This is the worst pep talk in history.
But could Scott Gordon, if Scott Gordon comes in and to coach the Philadelphia Flyers and he starts, they're going up against Tampa, would he say this?
I hope not, because he should be fired immediately in the NHL. But I understand the David versus Goliath. Canada in the hockey world compared to Switzerland,
it's night and day.
They're not even in the same universe. Right. But I don't know what he was trying to achieve. Like the only explanation is that Canada would hear it, laugh, acknowledge it, get blackout the night before, and just never show up to the rink.
What he was,
only explanation and reasoning behind it.
He was trying to basically get them to take his team lightly,
right?
And he could catch them off guard.
So this is what the Swiss head coach at the World Juniors said a year ago. This guy's coming back. He kept his gig after this quote.
Yes.
Canada in the quarterfinals. What sort of game are you expecting there?
Like a Canada team who dominates us again, and we try to hold against.
What did you learn about them in the pre-tournament game you played?
Learn that we are far away from them still. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
I love his, like, the air.
Yeah. It's like, what, are you serious with that question? How stupid is that?
Like, that could be a soundbite for us. Like, the...
Just that like... He's just so exasperated by the moment, and just the idea of them even competing with Canada disgusts him.
It's disgusting, he suggested. He was actually like taking a gasp.
Right.
Like he's had enough. Like, that would be like asking about the Leafs against Florida the other night, and you're disgusted, you know, that they lost in overtime. It's like...
But at least that would be after, not before the game.
Exactly.
Like, you can understand why you would be disgusted after.
Just leading into it.
Here's Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider.
Bonjour. Bonsoir.
What's happening, Pierre?
I just tweeted, I'm joining you guys now, and I hope Hayes doesn't ask me about the Cowboys.
So I was just going to say, what's wrong with the Cowboys?
That was awful. That was
I actually thought they'd lose because Indy's playing the best football in the league right now, but I thought it'd be close, so I didn't expect getting crushed.
Yeah. I don't know if Indy's playing the best football in the league right now.
Great.
They're playing very well.
And it's interesting, the teams that really, really need to win to survive almost all won this weekend. Pittsburgh, the Eagles. It's funny how that desperation,
right.
Like, the Cowboys are sort of, they just need one more win and they win the division.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I would think the bigger burn last night was that the Eagles go into L.A. and beat the Rams.
Yeah, I think, you tell me, but I think if the Cowboys beat Tampa, it's over anyway, because they have the tiebreaker over everyone in the NFC.
They do. Yeah, I think they're in. It's like the Pats. They haven't officially clinched, but they're in. The Cowboys, I'm not too worried about them. They have been playing pretty well prior to last week. Defensively, they've been pretty good. You know, Dak had been putting up numbers, and
That was ugly.
I don't know, man.
But anyway.
It was an ugly game.
All right.
We'll see what happens Sunday.
Yes. Well, we were hoping you'd come on, because we had another Pierre on the station today. I don't know if you heard Pierre McGuire, your namesake, saying that if he had a vote for the MVP, Mitch Marner will get his vote today.
That's interesting.
Can you match that type of heat?
I don't know. I mean, Freddie Anderson's been a pretty good MVP on his own team, too. But, I mean, Marner would be probably my five picks right now. You put five names on a ballot? Probably would be right now. He's been pretty phenomenal, both ends of the ice, very consistent.
Mm-hmm. He's been outstanding.
I think he's top 10 for me, personally. Top 10. But I can think of other players. We were kind of just spitballing them in the 4 o'clock hour. We didn't do that big of a deep dive.
Well, listen, the fact that you're in the conversation is a huge compliment. It's nice, and it's reasonable and should be expected because of how well he's played.
And one of the things that, fairly or not, often will beef up a legitimate candidate's case over the course of the year, and this is more of a March conversation than December, but is often when your team has certain key injuries and you're the guy that helps propel your team through it, which we've seen so far this year with Mitch Marner. I mean, Nylander is unsigned for the first couple months. Auston Matthews is out 4 weeks, and yet there's Marner doing his thing day in and day out. So that would be the case for it, for sure.
I don't think there's any disputing that. Personally, I've come up with this rule that I think I will likely apply for the next decade. If Edmonton is in a playoff spot, McDavid is the MVP.
My gosh,
I don't see how
he got votes last year on a non-playoff team, which is unheard of.
Right, yeah. And they missed
because
by
he's
a
that
mile.
Good.
Exactly.
Because he's that good.
He's that good, and he's playing that well, and he's playing this many minutes.
Right.
For me, it's McDavid.
But my point on the, if you look at, I have to go back and look, but the years that Crosby gets more weight behind him, even though he's been the best player in the world, certainly or was for better part of 12 years, were the years when Malkin would be hurt. And vice versa. If there was when Crosby was out in 2011 and Malkin was phenomenal, it's kind of weird
they
that it,
each
it,
other's
it's sort of
fame.
That, yeah,
like that's,
right?
But that's, you know, it's a great point because when you see tandems or teams that are deep, it almost like for one guy to excel way more than the other guys. Like we haven't even talked that much about John Tavares. John Tavares having a great season.
Yeah,
I think he scored his 20th.
He's already
night.
At 20.
How about
20
this goals. For? Sort of wild card heart candidates right now. What about Braden Point?
Yeah.
He'd be right there.
And if
he
was in a Canadian market?
Yeah.
I mean, now, that's a first place team where other guys are doing great things like Kucherov and Stamkos and Victor Hedman.
Right.
But that's the truth, right? That's what we were saying earlier, too, is a lot of times these tandems, they find a way to cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Because Rantanen and McKinnon are kind of, they're 1-2 in
right.
the league.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Point's got Kucherov, who's fourth in points. You've got Goudreau with Monahan. Kachuk is top 15 in points. There's three guys.
Has been unbelievable in Calgary, too, on the back.
Scheifele's been really outstanding, but Wheeler's eighth in points. You know what I mean? There's a lot of these tandems where they're all kind of in the mix. And I
feel like Scheifele, if he keeps going, might still get a push despite Wheeler being there. I feel like that might be one that gets going.
He's been brilliant.
And what happens if Ovi scores 70?
That's
I don't think that's going to happen,
we
but what if he scores 70?
Like, yeah.
How does Alex Ovechkin... I mean... Like we barely bring him up, even though we're witnessing greatness every year. Like this guy could be, and I don't know. I don't think he'll get close to Gretzky's record. But what if this guy does score 40 for five more years?
Greatest goal scorer of the modern era.
Modern era for sure, but could he arguably
maybe
be
ever.
The greatest of all time?
100%, he can be in
it's
that conversation.
Funny,
he is.
When he won the Conn Smythe, I was on the committee for the Conn Smythe, and I think there's 18 of us or 15 of us, I can't remember. I put it together, you'd think I'd remember. And it was close. The vote was very close between him and Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov had an unbelievable playoff.
He did.
And of course, it's like, how do you separate Kuznetsov from Ovechkin? But in that particular case, you have to, because it's the team that wins the cup and someone has to win the Conn Smythe. So in the playoffs, it's a little easier to, I think, to find the guy. Whereas in a regular season, that type of combination is harder to split up sometimes.
You know what's interesting about the Caps is they are the first team in a long time in the NHL that I can think of that finally got over the hump, and we still haven't given them credit for that. And what I mean by that is for years they were the team, rock stars in the regular season, they're going to choke out in the playoffs. They didn't choke out last year. Yet, whenever we talk about who we think is going to be in the Cup Final, it's Tampa, the Leafs, Nashville,
you're not hearing a lot
Winnipeg.
Of
why aren't we hearing repeat?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't we saying, oh, Washington, they finally knocked that door down a year ago.
But that
narrative
be.
Is dead.
But we should be.
We should be, but I don't think we are. And I mean, collectively, the media.
I don't sense that we are. You're right. And in fact, ironically enough, unless Pittsburgh finds that next gear, which they might, Washington's path to the conference finals is actually easier than Tampa, Toronto, or Boston. Really.
And I would say Winnipeg and Nashville, because those two teams are going to meet.
And Colorado's in there, too.
And Colorado, right.
So the Metro's kind of sunk this year. and the Washington's once again the class of it.
Yeah.
And you know, normally what you would hear against the repeat guys, you'd hear, well, no one's done it in the cap era, it's too difficult, the team, well, Pittsburgh just did it.
Right.
So they know, and I've talked to Caps GM Brian McClellan about this.
Yeah.
That the fact that their biggest rival did it right before them gives them hope, realistic hope, that why not us if these guys just did it? You know?
I can see it. They're a very good team. They're sitting atop the division again. Right, like they're doing it again, just quietly. It's like, no one's paying attention.
And you mentioned Pitt, though. Pitt's getting it together. Like now, they're in third in the Metro.
Yeah.
Like you know, like the Islanders could realistically drop.
They're coming
off.
Back. The Rangers have had a better start than we thought.
But
could be five teams in the Atlantic though, which is I mean, it's the last time that happened, if ever.
Well, Buffalo keeps winning. The Habs keep winning. Boston's going to get there, I think.
Yeah, I'm working that game tonight, by the way. Bruins, Habs on the TSN.
It'd be a good game. Bruins played yesterday, and they were a little cranky at their outcome. So I think Montreal's going to get all they can handle tonight in a back-to-back scenario in Montreal. But Montreal's played good hockey. Shea's settled them down. Like they're a team that at least I think they're going to be. I said this before at the start of the year. I think that they are going to be right there battling for that wild card spot. I think they can make the playoffs, especially with the way things are shaping up now out east. Like you're starting to see a settling. Mm-hmm. A little bit of separation.
I think it ends up Toronto-Boston again. I mean, listen.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
The journalist in me wants Montreal-Toronto so bad for the first time since 1979. But I think Tampa wins the Atlantic.
But what about Toronto?
Toronto-Boston. Boston gets healthier, and it's Toronto-Boston 2-3 again. I love the Sabres. I love the way they're playing. And I think the Sabres are ahead of the Canadiens on the pecking order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I just think Boston's going to end up getting it together here and surpassing the Sabres.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I think there's an outside chance that Buffalo could hold tight and end up third.
That'd be fantastic, too.
It would be good.
Well, then you talk MVP. Eichel's right in that conversation.
I agree. 100%. I also feel that may be better for the Leafs.
To play Buffalo? Oh, every day of the week. But there isn't a Leaf fan on earth that would take Buffalo or Boston over Buffalo.
Yeah, I think Boston's the worst matchup. Though the Sabres, I think, are a better team than the Canadiens right now by a hair.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Leafs would rather play, and this is my perception of it. Obviously, no one's talking about this with the Leafs, but I think Buffalo is the matchup over Montreal, because the only thing with a Montreal matchup, if you're the Leafs, is the white noise factor of the two biggest media centers of the NHL colliding for the first time since 79.
Yeah.
I don't know how that benefits the team that's supposed to win.
Right.
That just becomes Carey Price and the underdog Habs and the craziness.
Yes.
That would be a loud series.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I would pick the Leafs, obviously, because I think it's a mismatch, but I still think it's like all the intangibles that line up can only line up for Montreal.
That's right. The Leafs are supposed to win that. If the Habs push it to 6 or 7, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Two crazy fan bases.
Exactly. Must-win game at the Bell Center or something.
That would be a loud series.
It would be outstanding, though. It would be outstanding.
It would be great.
Pierre LeBrun, a hockey insider in studio. So Kyle Dubas spoke today, and I guess he was requested by the media, and he just decided for whatever reason to come out today. And
well, so funny thing, Hayes, I don't mind sharing this now, because this is how sort of the day. I started my day by sitting in his office. I did a sit-down with Kyle Dubas, which will be published tomorrow in The Athletic, so a little tease for people listening.
Okay.
And then as I drove home, I realized he didn't scrum the local guys as well, so local guys and gals.
So what were you kind of pursuing? What are you...
I sort of went around, I touched on a number of topics with Kyle. We went back on Nylander a fair bit. I was interested into hearing, because I don't remember if he's been asked this or not since it ended, why he chose to go to Switzerland in the middle of the process and sit down with Nylander, so we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about the trade deadline as much as he could share, sort of his view of that, and offer sheets, which I saw also came up in the scrum today with the rest of the media.
But what's he going to say about offer sheets? He can't come out and be like, you know, oh, we're panicking, or wow, this is a reality. He's going to try to shoot one over the...
Well, and the Leafs will tell you this, no matter who's asking, they are matching no matter what offer ever comes down the pipe. The downside is it could wreck their team by matching it, and they know that. Like, it could just really impact what else they can do around it.
Isn't that a dangerous play as well for the players? I mean, that angle doesn't come up enough. Because, you know, I'm a believer, you know, the player, fight for your money, get whatever you can. You have that right. But once it gets signed or it gets matched, you're going to have to answer for it.
Yes.
And the first question from a media member is going to be, why'd you do that to your team? You know, why did you put them in a position where, like, okay, you signed the deal, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe the answer is because the team was lowballing me so much and it was ridiculous and I was insulted, so we had to.
Right.
But if it's, you know, is it because you wanted to leave? You know, like, is that because, did you sign it because you wanted out of here?
I've got an answer for you on that.
Yes.
And I like to go back to things that have happened instead of always living in the what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Weber signed an offer sheet with the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Predators matched it. But I'll tell you right now that the day that he signed that offer sheet, David Poile knew he was going to trade Shea Weber one day. Because the message, for fair or not,
yeah,
the message that David Poile received was that Shea Weber didn't want to be a Predator anymore.
Right.
That's what he got out of it.
That's the perception.
That's what he got out of it. And listen, Shea Weber's happy as a clam right now in Montreal, but I'm saying that's the... You can say all you want that it's just about getting the number I want, but it's certainly a roundabout way of going about it. I think what really, if I'm Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, I love all this talk about offer sheets because, or certainly their agents anyway, I don't know how much they think about it,
mm-hmm.
because you want to make sure you do get your number and you do get your contract that you like. And if you can use that as leverage on Kyle Dubas, then so be it. That part I'm totally fine with. But to your point, if you actually... When people say, well, there could be offer sheets, that means the player is complicit.
They have to
that
sign
means
it.
You're,
right.
And then they got to answer.
There are no offer sheets unless you actually make it an offer sheet, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, explain why
I
you
think
wanted
it's
it.
Leverage. That's all it is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's what
it's
I think
it leverage.
Is.
He can say, I'm going to sign this offer sheet at X amount of dollars if we don't get this done. That's the agent going and saying, I've got this yeah. little carrot here. Right. Unless we get this sorted, we're going to head in this direction. And it's leverage. And Matthews is going to have leverage. Marner's going to have leverage to a point because they're both going to be RFAs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I,
you can't give them the world though.
No,
I mean that's the thing. No one. You can't give them 20% because of leverage or whatever the cap. You just can't do that.
I mean, thought about it this morning. Everyone says like it's double digits for Marner. I'm not convinced of that.
No.
Like Jack Eichel makes $10 million a year.
Well, and they may end up tied in points this year. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So
Kucherov just signed at 9.5. Kucherov's got more points than him right
Tyler
now.
Tyler Seguin's at 9.8. Like, I'm not
certainly
convinced.
Certainly 9 to 10
handing,
seems to be the
that seems
range.
Reasonable.
The neighborhood, which would be very reasonable. But I'm not convinced it's just double digits because he's had one breakout year. Certainly he's a special player and going to continue that trajectory. But you also have to think of a team dynamic and a salary cap era.
Of course.
Like if he
you
gets
want to
something...
sign Kapanen and Janssen and Gardner. Right. You want to sign everyone if you can. You're not, they're not going to be able to, I don't think. But the other dynamic, Noodles and Brian, is that, you know, I reported this last month on Insider Trading, and it came at a time where we were way more focused on Nylander. But the Marner camp internally has discussed the merits of a shorter deal than Max. The idea of looking at 4 or 5 years in length instead of 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's going to end up happening, but I would surmise that would make the Leafs a little nervous to some degree because the third contract becomes
a monster. And that's UFA. You're walking them to UFA. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables in play. You know, and another thing that actually came out that is germane to this season is that Dubas admitted that, you know, if the defense doesn't pick up, he's going to have to do something.
Right.
And I found that refreshing that he was willing to admit the elephant in the room.
I was going
to
say, the thing that we always say
we
is going to happen, yeah.
But what is a realistic expectation? You know, if they don't improve, you know, puck movement, if he looks at his defense and he goes, okay, we're in trouble here, picking up a seventh defenseman doesn't fix it.
No, so there's a couple places you can already look at. You can go call St. Louis and say, what would you want for Parayko or Pietrangelo? You can call Carolina and say, what's the cost on Brett Pesce or Justin Falk? And everyone has a different cost. Parayko and Pesce are younger than the other guys and also have a cap-friendly deal long-term, right?
Right.
So everything has a cost. Like Carolina, I can tell you right now, because I think this came up during the Nylander, you know, Carolina was interested in Nylander, was that Nylander is a better player than Brett Pesce. It's not, you know.
Right.
But Pesci's contract in the scheme of how we do NHL economics carries its own value. Right?
Right. Locked in, good.
Maybe not
good
on
number.
The ice, but salary cap wise, here's a second pairing right handed defenseman who's making X amount of money for another 5 years. That I think Carolina views that as value if they're gonna trade him.
Sure.
So Now, as I said last week, I think the Hurricanes really like Kasperi Kapanen. I don't know that the Leafs would want to move him, but if they get to the trade deadline and think that they need to defend better, I mean, at some point, you got to pay the price of poker to get better in the back end, right?
Right. Yeah, you got to pay something to get something. That's just the reality. All right, Pierre. Good stuff, man.
Could do it forever. Thanks for being easy on me with the Cowboys.
It's always great.
By the way,
you're still in a playoff spot. My Packers are done.
I witnessed Noodles attacking the Coke machine outside the studio. I just want to pass that on.
Like, things literally stole my quarter.
Stole your quarter.
I've had enough of that machine out there.
I hate like, these machines.
And you know there's cameras, but I'd like to scissor kick right through it. And I thought about going to the car and getting a crowbar and just smashing it and taking my drink out of there. But I don't know how many...
I took a step back when I saw it.
I would imagine losing your career.
How many loonies and toonies you've flushed down that damn
all
thing.
All the time. I've done it. It's honestly, it's a thief. I hate those...
But you keep returning to it because it's right there, you're right desperate. Out of the studio. Yeah. I hate that thing.
Well, you're okay. You got your drink. You may have lost your quarter. You kept your career.
Sort of.
So it's all good.
So rattled.
All right, Pierre. All right, good luck with the Cowboys. Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, on, man.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Jack Armstrong coming up on Nick Nurse and his message to officials around the league, backing up his boy, Kawhi Leonard. What's up with OG Anunoby? And what can we expect of the Raptors with a big week coming up? Our buddy Jack will join us next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. You can find everything podcasts online, tsn1050.ca, and check us out and subscribe on iTunes. We are off to Vegas in February. Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas. This Valentine's Day, the O Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send us an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style, and you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. That's coming up real soon.
It is.
We're about 2 months away, and we're going to announce a winner in less than a month. Very exciting stuff.
It is.
Very exciting stuff. The Raptors, man, I got to give them credit last night. You know, they lost both over the course of the weekend, but they were really dealing with injury problems. And that Denver team's a really good team. Everyone knows about, you know, the altitude and issues in Denver. And there was no Kyle, no Fred, no Siakam, Valanciunas. I mean, that's four of their top, like, seven or eight players in the rotation. And they lost the game, and they went cold to start the fourth quarter. But I thought they played pretty well. And really, the story of the game was about the post game where Nick Nurse came out and just carved up the officials and was sticking up for Kawhi. And even though the stats would indicate that Kawhi's getting to the line a lot this year, more so than really any other year of his career, I think this was a premeditated attack just to let Kawhi know, we got your back, you're our guy.
Sure.
And how about you sign here, initial there,
yeah,
and let's lock you up for a 4 or 5 year deal. Chat about it. Here's our TSN Raptors analyst. He was in the building calling the game last night. Here's Jack Armstrong. What's up, Jack?
Brian, Jamie, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. How do you feel about Nick Nurse sticking up for Kawhi post game last night?
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. I think we see it in all sports, whether it be you know your star center or your star quarterback, pitch it inside to a guy who's your cleanup hitter, whatever the case may be. I mean, it's a normal thing for coaches to do that. I thought it was a loose whistle last night on both ends, not just on Toronto's end, but Denver's end. And obviously, you know, if you're Denver and you recognize the number of guys, as you mentioned, Brian, that were out last night for Toronto, you know, he's going to be a marked man. There's going to be a second, third defender going his way, and they're going to do everything they can to take liberties trying to get the ball out of his hands or be as physical as they can with him. And I thought they did do that. And I thought there was a loose whistle there. On the other hand, there was a loose whistle in terms of how Toronto was trying to play defensively as well. I think they let the two teams play. Now, is that common in an NBA game now? No. I thought the whistle was similar to the 80s or 90s rather than the 2018 NBA. I did say it on the game last night that both of the teams have to adjust a little bit to the whistle. But bottom line, if you got Kawhi Leonard, and in my opinion, he's the best player in the building last night, you got to do everything you can as a head coach to state his case, defend him, And more importantly, you know, you got the Indiana Pacers coming into town on Wednesday. They're a really good team. And you just want to plant a few seeds along the way that you want the narrative to change. You've played 32 games and you got 50 to go. And you want the narrative to be a little bit different maybe the rest of the season.
I know it's not in his personality, but wouldn't it be a little bit more ideal if Kawhi started fighting for that? I mean, is there any possibility of that? He starts piping up a little bit more on the court?
I've seen Kawhi, he's been more vocal. And for him, you know, vocal is it's a relative term. But I do see him getting frustrated. I do see him trying to communicate at times with the officials. But I do love what he said as well, is that I pride myself that in whatever style, in whatever era, I think I could have been a really good player. And I like that about him. I think he takes on whatever challenge the game presents him. And I thought he played his heart out last night. He was great. And, you know, you look at the fact that he only had 4 assists last night. Some of the reads he was making last night, he should have had 9, 10, 11 assists if anyone could make a shot off of what he was trying to do. But, again, I understand what Nick Nurse is trying to do. And I think when you have a player of that magnitude, you got to stand up for him. And you got to set the table for the next 50 games of the season that this guy needs to be officiated in a different way, because he is a physical player. And I think if you coach LeBron, as much as we all think LeBron gets calls, if you coach LeBron and you look at just how physically imposing he is, the guy's getting hit on every play. But normally he's the hammer, not the nail.
With Jack Armstrong, you mentioned all those open looks last night. And, you know, C.J. Miles really struggling with his shot right now. But O.G. Anunoby stood out more so for me last night. I mean, he is ice cold. And I think it's a sophomore slump. I hope it's not a regression because, you know, I don't think he's moving the ball that well. I think defensively he's been okay. But, you know, last night he must have had 4 or 5 wide open looks. And he looks so uncomfortable right now. What's up with Anunoby?
Well, you know what they say. Usually your secondary players play better at home than they do on the road. And that was a perfect example of that last night with him and C.J. Miles. I mean, the bottom line is those two guys are getting wide open shots. I mean, you know, the Nuggets, again, they're loading up on Kawhi, double, triple team. Anytime the ball is put on the floor, they're daring those guys to beat them. And they feel pretty confident in the odds. You know, and I think you got to be a little bit concerned that, with all due respect to Pascal Siakam, when he's becoming one of your more consistent three-point shooters, I mean, how could Pascal Siakam be shooting the ball better than C.J. Miles?
No,
I mean,
no.
It makes no sense to me. And in this offense, these guys are getting wide open shots. Think of if Kyle Korver got the shots last night or whoever the case may be. I mean, get some of those shots that were taken last night. You win the game. I mean, I thought the Raptors played better, played harder, and if you just make a few of those, you win the game. So, yeah, no, it's a concern with Miles, and it's a concern with OG Anunoby at this stage that you thought he would be progressing further, and it hasn't happened yet. And you just hope that if you're a Raptor fan that, it'll make a difference down the line, that these experiences that he's going through right now will better him later on.
Yeah, 7 for 35. They shot 20% from 3 last night. I mean, it's a free flowing sport. It's, you know, like any other sport, you could probably focus on any detail and try to, you know, blow up the narrative. But it probably is that simple last night. You know, they
played well enough defensively.
Right.
They rebounded the ball against an excellent rebounding team. And they did all the things that you want to do. And bottom line is you can't make shots. And if they're difficult, contested shots, it's one thing. But when you're being blatantly left wide open and you can't make them, that's a challenge now in this league. You don't see a lot of guys turning shots down. And you reach a point where you wonder whether there gets a point where you have to say, hey, you know what, by the way, you can't shoot that anymore. I mean, if you're not going to make it, then you got to keep moving it until we find a guy that can actually make it.
To the point where you got to think that's a focal point leading up to a trade deadline, wouldn't it be? I mean, you acquiring
yes.
a conventional
yes. No, I
shooter.
personally, I personally think there are two areas of need for the Raptors right now. I still think they need another guy who can go get it on the glass rebounding wise. And I think they don't have enough, you know, they don't have enough guys that consistently shoot the ball well enough. And, you know, and again, maybe guys will find their level, this, that, the other thing. But to me, if you fire Dwayne Casey and you trade for Kawhi Leonard, to me, you're saying, hey, we're going all in. We're trying to, LeBron left the conference. We're going to try to win a title here. We're trying to get to the NBA Finals. And we're going to try to win a title. And by the way, you've swept the Warriors this year. So the last time I checked, I think you're all in. If you're all in and you have guys that aren't able to play at the level of all in, then you got to maybe consider getting another guy that helps you in that all in mentality. I really think that that's something that they're going to have to look at. That I do think it might be a stretch to say, hey, it would be ideal to get two more guys. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if they have the assets to do it. But to try to get one more guy to help them, I mean, now Trevor Ariza's off the market. Kyle Korver's off the market. Shooting's something that a lot of people want. But somehow, some way, they got to find, whether it be internal improvement from some guys that are really not performing up to the level they need to, or you got to find someone else out there on the market. And maybe a guy that hasn't played in Norman Powell, maybe him is like that fifth starter for you or that fifth guy on the floor. Maybe he can play within himself. I thought he forced this game a year ago. I thought this year before he got hurt, he was a lot more in tune with what he was supposed to do on the court. Maybe when he comes back, maybe he can be a guy to take some of the minutes of a C.J. Miles and an O.G. Anunoby and performs with consistency. Because ultimately, someone's got to produce for you.
He is Jack Armstrong, TSN Raptors analyst, and the man, the myth, the legend behind HelloJack.ca, the best website in the business. What's up with the website these days?
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's the holiday season, Brian and Jamie, and you know that, you know, you need that last-minute stocking stuffer. You want a few laughs on a Christmas morning, what better place to get a toque or a hat or a T-shirt?
There's an ugly holiday sweater on there as well.
Exactly. I love it. Get that garbage out of here.
Better not be your face, because that would be fake news. Better not be your face on that, Jack.
So, you know, I mean, what, you know, if you got a few extra shekels and you're not sure what you want to get for your friend or just to get a few laughs, check it out.
Yeah, I love it. HelloJack.ca. I'm sure we'll chat before the holidays, but if not, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, the whole nine, and we'll do it again soon, buddy.
You got it, guys. Feliz Navidad.
There he is. Jack Armstrong, super fan of the second overall place in the Atlantic Division, the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes.
And was in the building last night. And, you know, this is the beauty of being in Toronto right now, where you get to watch the Leafs and the Raps, and both of them are in kind of ruts, considering the way they started.
Right.
Raptors have lost, what, five of their last eight games, and the Leafs are kind of struggling a bit too. They've not played at their peak.
Yeah, they haven't played their best. They certainly haven't played consistent hockey,
right,
like for 60 minutes.
No, and you know, the Raps are dealing with injuries and all that, but these two teams, you know, come the trade deadline, you know, the word seller is not going to be around in this city. It's not happening. They are both going to be buyers. They both have needs. Mm-hmm. And I think the Raptors, as Jack pointed out, for me, you know, rebounding is important, but I'm more focused on a guy who can catch and shoot. I don't need someone who can, you know, move the ball, someone who's necessarily, you know, there to be that big of a presence, outside of the fact that if you're wide open, you're going to hit those shots.
Right.
Because of the fluidity of this offense right now. And you could, you know, you got to lock down defensively and be able to switch off and all that kind of stuff with the modern game. But I think that is the focal point for the Raps. And with the Leafs, you know, Dubas said it today. It's going to be defense. That's what it's going to be. Now, yeah. I don't know who they're going to target, but if you want someone who's actually really going to make an impact, it's going to cost you something. For both teams.
I think everyone's focused on Carolina, focused on other play. Like, it's going to be some team out of nowhere that they've targeted a player, and it may not be somebody who's been front and center in trade talks. That's usually how it works. Like, you know, we're all focused on, okay, is it Slavin? Is it this? But it's going to be somebody else.
Yep. Well, it's true. I mean, it. You know who? Like, look at the Islanders. The Islanders have a relationship. I don't know if Lou's going to want to make a deal with the Leafs because of the Tavares stuff, and who knows how Lou operates in terms of holding grudges or whatever. But the Islanders have played a lot better than I thought they would. I think they're going to start to fade. I think they already are. And you know, I'm not pinpointing one guy, but there's a team with a connection. Dubas can pick up the phone and talk to Lou
for sure.
You know, and there's going to be Philly, if they're in this position and they keep sinking, they're probably going to be looking to make a deal. They've got some good pieces in Philly.
Rangers,
there's a lot of teams.
Detroit,
the Rangers, like exactly. Arizona's done again. You know, the Kings are done. I think, who knows? There's a lot of runway between
Chicago,
now and the trade deadline.
There's St. Louis. You go right throughout the league. There's probably about six or seven teams right now that you could paint, circle and say they're going to be sellers at the deadline.
Yes.
And those teams have some quality players that can add to your organization.
Yeah, but on the flip side, it's not like the Leafs are the only team or the Raptors are the only team in each league looking for something like this. You know, everyone's looking for the same kind of stuff. You're looking for depth. You're looking for help.
Nashville will be proactive. Winnipeg will be proactive. Tampa will be proactive. Depends on what their needs are, what they feel it. Mm-hmm. Their depth situation is. Let's not forget, there could be injuries at that time, too. We're assuming health in all these scenarios. You may need, like, I 100% believe the Leafs need to get a goaltender at the deadline for depth. Just for depth. You're set at the NHL level. Who's your three? Like, that's you know, it doesn't have to be addressed right now because Freddie's playing well, he's healthy. Sparks is playing okay, and he's healthy. But you, one tweak of a knee for either one of them, and your depth gets challenged. They lost a lot of their depth on waivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picard and McElhinney. That's it. So I think Kyle will tinker with that scenario. He's not going to have to pay a king's ransom, but he's certainly going to grab somebody with NHL experience before the deadline.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that they're going to surprise you in a number of ways. Because I think you're right. You need that third option in net. They may look for another depth forward. No one's focused on that, but they might. They might think, you know what, we can get a veteran who's kind of on the cheap who could slot in on the fourth line.
Right.
Maybe with size. I mean, that's something we're all focused on.
Yep.
And, you know, they're bringing in someone on the defensive end. I don't know if it's going to be as high of a level as a Pietrangelo or a Parayko or something like that, but they are not going in with Justin Hall as their seventh defenseman.
No.
Or Martin Marincek.
Although I feel bad for him. I was sniffing around. I'm doing the game tomorrow, so I was sniffing around on the stats today, and, like, Hall's... No, he's been a healthy.
He doesn't play.
Like,
yeah,
it's a but feel bad you know, guy.
Yeah, so do I. But you're a pro. But the point I'm making is, they don't want to be in that position where if, you know, Zaitsev gets injured and can't play game three.
Yeah,
that's they got to put in a guy that's played one game this year.
All year.
Yeah. You're not going to do that.
Nope.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Monday nighter tonight, and revisit the conversation we had earlier, where the sportsbusinessdaily.com revealed the top 50 most influential people in sports business.
I love that.
Very proud of the number one spot. Very unique. We'll tell you about that next. Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. Saints 6-point favorites tonight, taking on Carolina. Carolina's really struggling recently. And the Saints with a chance to kind of wrap up that top spot in the NFC now that the Rams have lost 2 weeks in a row. I think Drew Brees goes off tonight. Over the number passing yards for Drew Brees. Over the number rushing yards for Christian McCaffrey. Under the number total receptions for Alvin Kamara. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So there's our little gambling bit for the day.
Well, that's what people are into.
So, Sports Business Daily... Mm-hmm. I guess post this every year, and as we've been pointing out, this time of year, it's all about the list, and it's all about top 10 this and top 50 that.
Yeah.
2018's top 50 most influential people in sports business. The number one spot, the American sports gambler. The old degenerate gambler.
The degenerate.
Gambler. That's how they should have phrased it.
Yeah.
The degenerate.
Yeah, that's what it
the
should
number
just
one
be
spot.
In quotation marks.
But I'm not surprised because that was the biggest story of the year in sports business.
Yes.
Because sports gambling is legalized, and the stigma of sports gambling, I think, is starting to change.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some dark parts to it? Absolutely. Can people get carried away? 100%. It's a vice.
Right.
Like alcohol, it's like marijuana, you know, it's you can dump a lot of money into it real quick.
Yes.
But there can be a dark area to it. There's no questioning that. But there's a lot of people that gamble, and it's not, you know, 200 grand on a game.
They use it for entertainment.
It's entertainment. And right. I'm a perfect example of that. I gamble the occasional pro line,
right.
Couple of parlays. I like doing it for football. I don't do
parlays.
It for a couple of parlays.
People don't even know for a casual
if you Yeah, if you're not into gambling.
What's a parlay?
And I understand that. That's why we don't talk a lot about, you know, fantasy sports on this team, a lot about, or on this show, and gambling. Yeah. Because if you're not into it, it's a complete turnoff, which I can understand.
Right.
But more and more people are into it. And I believe, and I've always believed, there have been a lot of people involved, but it's not in the public eye because sports leagues and executives always fought against the legalization of sports gambling.
No.
Well, now it's out in the open.
Now they've embraced it because they know there's money there for them.
And they can't fight it. The Supreme Court told them, sorry, you can't fight it anymore.
Yeah.
It's legal. So now you might as well embrace it. And there is a lot of money involved.
There's a ton of money. Because people spend... If you're going to spend $20, how many people would spend $20 on a game or on a series of games?
Yes.
And then there's people with hundreds, and then thousands, and 10,000 of, you know, Mayweather.
Well, the high rollers are on a different level than, you know. But they've got so much money they can probably afford to spend that kind of money.
A dime. What's a dime? Is that 10,000?
It's a lot of money, yes. It's a lot of money.
Put a dime tonight on...
On, yes, the Saints covering the number. But, you know, that's the future. It's the here and now, and it's the future. I think it's just a matter of time before sports books are in the arenas.
Yeah.
Until teams, you know, start working in conjunction with either casinos or sports books and have apps, you know, like the Maple Leaf app that's sponsored by whatever website it is, and you can live bet during the game.
I think
you see that at the Rogers Center. That's where it's going. And if you want to gamble, you gamble. If you don't, you don't. But 2018 was a year that will not be forgotten anytime soon by the degenerate community, because sports gambling, it kind of...
It's been acknowledged.
Yes.
You're there.
It's at a very different level today than it was on January 1st.
Yes.
So that's kind of an interesting top spot.
Not an
individual person.
But I enjoy it, and I think it's correct.
I believe it is as well. All right. The O Dog is off for the week. He's got a personal week. Personal weeks.
Yes.
Gone for 3 weeks.
I will be back Wednesday because I'm calling the Leaf game in Jersey tomorrow. I'm off to New Jersey tonight.
Okay, so enjoy that. Say
Should
hi to everyone
game.
Down there.
Should
for
be
us.
A good game. What are you?
It should better be a win for the Leafs. Some people starting to panic a little
Wednesday,
bit
I'll be breaking down.
A win?
Good Leaf game.
I think the Leafs are going to play better tomorrow.
There you
night.
Go.
Enjoy that. I will be back tomorrow at 4. You'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.